I was looking in the Word of God this morning, and I was reminded in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26, the Bible said, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse." So let me ask you a question. Who would rather have a blessing than a curse? Amen. I want the blessing, I don't want the curse. Now, understand one thing. Jesus was sent by the Father to redeem us from the curse of the law. Now listen to me. That doesn't mean the curse is gone because we live in a fallen world. I mean, Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, caused the nature of sin to come. But we get to escape that nature because of Jesus. And we, when we give our life to Him, we're translated into a different kingdom, the kingdom of light through Jesus Christ, the light, right? Old things pass away, behold, all things become new, and all that kind of stuff. But listen, it won't become new until you begin to renew your mind in the Word of God. I mean, you can still live in a world system because it's all around us. That's why the Bible says to not live of this world, even though we live in this world. In other words, you and I as believers in Jesus Christ are supposed to be set apart. And that's why I don't believe in playing church. I don't believe in just kind of being a Christian every now and then when it's Sunday, growing up, or Wednesday night. This is a culture. This is how we live as Christians. We live it all the time. So Jesus came and redeemed us from that curse, even though the curse can still be around us. So I think it's pretty important here that if God sets before us something like a blessing, it's up to you and I to get a hold of that and receive the blessing of God. When you're talking about finances, and for all you new people, I don't take a salary at this church. What it does is it affords me to then to be able to teach about finances. We only operate by love offering. If you want to give to us, do. It helps put gas in the truck. But you're not our provider. And that's what it's teaching. It messed up all our elders when I told them, I'm not going to take a salary. I'm just going to trust God. And what it does is that then it helps us all be taught that that's really what you should do, is just trust Him. Your job is not your provider. God's your provider through that job. And then He'll promote you in that job. Amen? So the point is believe God for your finances. And here the Bible says God's setting before us a blessing and a curse. Well, I don't want the curse, so why don't you go ahead and reach out and just receive the blessing of God. And here's how you do it. It's a principle called sowing and reaping. When you sow, I like Galatians because it says, as a man soweth, bountifully he'll receive it, bountifully. If he sows sparingly, that's what he'll receive. Now, I know we're talking about finances, but that really talks about anything in life. And y'all have heard me use the example of when you sow something bad, then you'll receive it. If I slap you upside the head, I planted a seed. And nowadays, you can't run faster than a bullet. I mean, that thing can get you. The point is, y'all, is start understanding the principle that God set up. As He said, man, if you'll sow into the kingdom of God, I've set it before you, the blessing will flow in your life. Stop being concerned about the church just trying to get your money. No, they're not if they're teaching it correctly. They're actually, God's trying to get finances to you. But He cannot get them to you unless He can get them through you. So when you're led by the Spirit of God, and He says to give, I want you to give. Amen. And so in this bucket and in that bucket, that's where we come and give. The Bible says bring the tithes and offerings to the storehouse. And so I want you to just with some enthusiasm that you're operating in the principles of God and sowing and reaping, why don't you come give with that same attitude of, thank God I can give to the Lord. Amen? And y'all that are visiting, would you also bring down that visitor card or send it with someone? Come give with a big old shout of praise, would you? Thank you, Lord. Where's Cassidy? She coming?
Looking back on my life, I'm so amazed at your never-ending love and your never-ending grace. For I'm just a woman, undeserving, it's true. So help me understand what I'm asking you. Powerful to be blessed beyond this world with all that's beautiful. Who am I to have everything? Who am I to be a child of a king? My father reminds me in his image I was made. So who am I not to be? Humbly bow my head and thank you again for showing me once more how your goodness never ends. For when I am weak, you see me standing tall, and when I question who I am, you are the answer to it all. Who am I to be wonderful? To be blessed beyond this world with all that's beautiful. Who am I to have everything? Who am I to be a child of a king? My father reminds me in his image I was made. So who am I not to be? Wonderful. Who am I to be powerful? To be blessed beyond this world with all that's beautiful. Who am I to have everything? Who am I to be a child of a king? My father reminds me in his image I was made. So who am I not to be? So who am I not to be? Who am I not to be? So who am I not to be?
Oh, yeah. Good job. How long you been playing the guitar? Now?
4 years.
4 years now? Man, I remember when she just started. Man, she's come a long way. And I'm very, very proud.
Thank you.
What grade you in?
I'm a senior.
senior at Liberty Hill High School, and I'm honored that you'll sing for the Lord in high school. Amen. Give her a hand. Proud of you. Big time. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Well, let's dismiss kids with a big round of applause, Kids Church and our youth group. You're dismissed out the back end. Come on, church, give it to them. They're going to need it. Praise the Lord. Look at all. When the Lord said be fruitful and multiply, y'all did. You did it. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. How many brought a Bible? Let me see them. I want everybody to raise your Bible up. Let me see all the Bibles. And this is kind of, I gauge to see what side to preach at. It's kind of even, though. Always bring your word, please. It's your sword. It's your everything. It'll change your life if you just let it. Amen? I want you to turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 29. By the way, all of you that are watching live, thank you for watching. You always wonder when you start a live feed that it might give someone an opportunity to not come to church and stay home and just watch it at home. But there's something about being here and assembling together. Amen? And so always have a heart to want to be here. But if you can't for any reason, or all of you that live all over the country that watch and tell us you're watching, it's an honor. And spread the word, wccowboychurch.org. You can, at 10:30 every Sunday, we're going to be live. And then a few different special things we'll go live on, we'll let you know. So stay hooked to our website, and tells you everything. By the way, all of you, if you're members of our church, why don't you start spreading the word and putting on all y'all's social media stuff, Facebook and Instagram and whatever you have, that people can watch us live on WC Cowboy Church. And when you type in WC, don't do a space, wccowboychurch.org, it'll pop up our church logo, and it'll really help you start learning how to navigate the website. And very excited that we even have our own app of our Cowboy Church website. And so check it out and start learning how to get that app and be a part of staying hooked to what's going on in Cowboy Church. Amen? Let me ask you a question this morning. And I want you to understand that when I preach, I'm preaching to me. I've always been like that for all the years of ministry, personal ministry of that we started just at the rodeos called Cowboy Ministries Outreach Center, was started about 21 years ago, probably 1996, going on 22 years or whatever. But before that, I traveled with my family. My dad was a pastor since 1970. Got his license to preach from the Southern Baptists. And then once we got to kind of go and minister into the cowboy world and found out that you can't preach just the Baptist doctrine at the rodeo because there's one of everybody, then my dad went, and we got exposed to a lot of stuff that we wasn't taught at the Baptist church. My dad went to Rhema Bible School after that, and that's really when the Spirit of God began to move in our lives. And I knew there was a call on my life. About 13 years old, at a little vacation Bible school, gave my life to Jesus at 10, but 13 was when I knew that there was a call on my life. And I just had this desire to tell the uttermost parts of the world, as the word says, about Jesus. And it's been my heart ever since. The very first day that I left the ministry of my mom and dad in my 20s, early 20s, and began to venture out, ministering to anybody that would receive me. And it was amazing that in those early years, I could have preached somewhere every single day and did for a lot of the years. The doors opened up incredibly in the early years of ministry in 1996 that, man, there wasn't enough time to do everything. I mean, that's when we began to burst some outreaches in Canyon and Lubbock and, you know, Albany and El Paso and so on. And then God began to open some doors in college rodeo, professional rodeo, high school rodeo. And so to this day, we've just been real busy and serving the Lord. When I leave and have to be gone on a Sunday, and I know it irritates some of you, don't let it, though. Don't let it irritate you, because I'm hopefully getting people born again. Amen? And there was a few. I was surprised when Howdy told me about 11 or so people got born again here last week. Now, we always have people born again. Very seldom is there someone at this church that doesn't get saved. God just, it's amazing what God's doing here. But there was only like 3 or 4 in Andrews at the church that I did. So you won. Good job. But we're not in a contest. But the point I'm trying to make is when I leave, there, you know, I have this passion to see people born again. But then when I come back and, man, alive, I started looking at my calendar and it looks like I'm going to be here for several Sundays in a row. Wow. Say amen to that, don't you? I mean, I pray that the day never comes when you're leaving, you know. Right now, it's when you're getting back. You know, I keep coming and you're never there. You're the pastor. And so, but as God set up this church, when I leave, thank God that Howdy can tend to it or whatever other minister, Ricky, we have some different ministers that get to minister here. And so, what is God's plan in your life? Now, I could probably go around to every single person and just begin to ask individually, what is God's plan in your life? Y'all that, you know, are getting on up there in age, a lot of times the enemy tells you that your life is about done and maybe you don't have much of a plan left. And I want you to know that that's not the truth. That's a lie. Because God has a plan for you, just like he has a plan for me. So the question is what is God's plan for you? Not your family, for you individually. Because a lot of people don't know God's plan for their lives. A lot of times they haven't even really thought about it. But God's got a plan for you. And not someone else kind of helping you come into that plan. No, God has an individual plan for you, brother. Amen. Amen. And he doesn't leave anybody out. He has a plan for your life. The thing is do you know what his plan is? Or is this God stuff, you know, not that important that, you know, thank God you're going to heaven. You have that helmet of salvation on, and that's kind of it. I mean, that's a good thing that you're not going to have to burn in hell. I'm telling you, it's hot there. You don't want to be there. I was in Pecos, Texas, and I thought it was hot. But hell's going to be hotter, y'all. Son of a gun. I thank God we get to go to a place called heaven. But listen, you don't want just the helmet of salvation on. You need the whole body to be protected. The breastplate of righteousness. Amen. And so the question this morning to everybody that's here and everybody that is watching at home or wherever you're at, is what is God's plan for you? And if you've never thought about that, you need to, because God's got a plan for you. I love what Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11 says. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord." Now that's hard. That's plenty enough for me, amen? When the Lord himself is saying, "I know the thoughts I think toward you." And then he begins to explain it. He says, "Thoughts of peace." Now, I don't know about you, but in the world that we're living in, we need peace. I'm talking about the peace of God that passes understanding. Because a lot of times the enemy will try to get your mind so messed up on the whys. Why did this happen to me? I don't know how many times I hear people blaming God. That's the worst thing you can do. Because I'm here to tell you, God is not your problem. He's your source. He's your answer of everything. But why am I going through this? When in all actuality, God is wanting you to have peace in your life. But look in the mirror, because it's us that usually are the problem of not receiving peace. Say amen to that, because it's the truth. We're constantly trying to figure out and justify the bad things that are going on in our lives, when here the Bible is trying to teach us that God himself wants us to have thoughts of peace, and then it answers us, not of evil. So in order to answer a lot of questions when we're talking about what is God's plan in my life, when bad things might happen to good people, that God's not the one that's responsible for any evil. No, he just wants peace in your life. He wants you to know that the peace of God that does pass the understanding is what should rule in your life. Peace. I mean, because man, when you got the peace of God in your life, there's no worry, there's no guilt, there's no shame, there's no condemnation. Nah, man, you just walk in that peace. Now, when bad things do happen, though, man, you can still remain in peace. Not trying to blame God for all the junk that's going on. No, just we live in a fallen world. According to John 10:10, there's a thief who wants to steal, say it with me, kill and destroy. That's his job. But see, you have a way of escaping all that through Jesus. So here, the Bible's trying to teach us that I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. In other words, I like kind of what the Amplified says in 11 on that very end part, to give you hope in your final outcome. In other words, the things that you've been believing God for, the desires that God's given you, maybe some of you years ago, he wants that to come to pass in your life, you see. So the word goes on to say, "Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I'll hearken unto you." Verse 13, "And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart." Now, I ask you the question, what is God's plan in your life? And in order to find out God's plan in your life, then you have to do the work. You have to begin to ask God. I like flipping on over there to James chapter 1, where the Bible says, if you lack wisdom, ask God for wisdom, who will give it to you liberally and upbraideth not. So it's up to us when we're talking about understanding the plan of God in my life to begin to search out and seek the plan of God. Matter of fact, you're noticing here that when you seek him, you'll find him. When you search for him with your heart, that's when you'll find him. There's been times in my life when I didn't know which direction to take. For example, coming here Over 13 years ago, I didn't know exactly where to go, but I had the faith to know that we were done in Lubbock. We started church at the barn. We just turned it over to Jan and Ted Currington to pastor it. Very big church. I mean, there's 500, 600, 700 that go to it now. We pioneered that church. I didn't know where to go, but I knew God was sending us this direction somewhere. So, by faith, Jamie and I was married then. We sold our house in Level Land, Texas, and we started coming here to look for property. Jamie said to me one day, I love the Marble Falls area, and it's so pretty, beautiful. So we said, all right, well, let's look at some homes in Marble Falls. And we did. We got a realtor. She showed us all kinds of properties that were for sale, but we just didn't like. If we loved the house, it was, you know, beside something that we didn't love. And we always figure that, you know, if God's moving us, then we need something that will sell if God ever sends us somewhere else. We just couldn't find anything. And then one day she said, well, I have some homes in Georgetown and Liberty Hill. And I think it was the second or third home that we looked at that day here in Liberty Hill. And Jamie said, I love it. We did. We lived right across from you. That's right. I forgot about that. So maybe, well, but she might have been the reason that you said, I love it. It was Dama?
I love Dama.
Well, I've never given you the credit of us moving here then. So God, his plan was to use you and Betsy. What about Betsy? Because Betsy was at this service I did in Marble Falls. And I don't know what your life was like. I mean, she says it was a mess. But I remember that she told us that she prayed to God that she would serve him if he moved us here. Wow. Is that kind of how it was?
Wow.
You see, we're talking about the plan of God.
Yes,
and obviously, she's been a big part of our ministry ever since, you see. But listen, we're talking about the plan of God. And again, I could probably go across this congregation and we could probably have testimony after testimony. The plan of God in your life. Well, see, it wasn't long that when I met Ricky, Laurie, Daryl, and Jane, they were playing shows, and that's our fiddle player for y'all that don't know Ricky. And he was playing a show in Branson. I think I saw him play with Mo Bandy, but he had his own show the year that Glenn and Ann Smith, my spiritual mom and dad, took us to Branson. And there was a plan, though, because God was just orchestrating some stuff, not knowing that a year later, maybe, or 2 years later, that I would ask Ricky to pray about coming here to run our music program at this church. And I'm telling you then, God's plan just began to come in effect. And it wasn't long when Ricky and Laurie said, we prayed and we believe God's bringing us here. Now, he was the fiddle player of the Sons of the Pioneers, the oldest, very first group playing back then. That kind of music. And so it took a lot of prayer to move here and leave that. By faith, man, right? It was God's plan in his life, you see. But there's a lot of people that really don't know God's plan in their life. They're still searching. What am I supposed to do? And I'm not talking about just the young. I'm even talking about some of our mature folks that are still searching out, what is your plan for my life? Well, I'm here to tell you this morning, as we turn over to Ephesians chapter 4, I want to just begin to speak some things in your life that will give you some faith to begin to search out God's plan for your life. And it doesn't matter if you don't know a lot of scripture. It doesn't matter if you're not Mr. Spiritual. All it matters is your heart wanting to desire to know God's plan for your life. Simply saying, God, what is your plan for my life? Is it just to be a father? Is it just to be a good mom? I'm telling you, it's probably a part of that. But man, there could be a lot more to God's plan in your life if you just begin to search that out with your heart, you see. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, the Bible says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. We call that the fivefold. Only some are called to do that. Obviously, I am. I believe that I operate as an apostle in a lot of ways because God's given me a lot of things to start. And that's kind of like the Apostle Paul. He started a lot of works. But I operate very evangelistic. I'm also a pastor. Every now and then, I've never called myself a teacher. So knowing, and not to say that I don't have that anointing hit, and we'll begin to teach the Word of God, kind of like this morning. But really, I understand my office as an apostle and that evangelistic anointing that's on me. That's why people get saved everywhere I go. That anointing, man, thank God for it. I want, that's my heart, you see. There's times when God would give me a very prophetic word for someone. I'm liable to look at someone and, man, just this word will come in my heart and into my mind, and I'm liable to just speak a word of the Lord to you. But look, a lot of the fivefold, and by the way, there's churches that don't even think there's prophets around anymore. They went away with the old covenant. We know that's not true because the prophets are still here. Matter of fact, that could be the plan in your life that you've just never let God really expose to you or birth in you. Man, God may have a spirit of prophetess or of the prophet if you just allow him to do it and not be afraid. You know, fear will mess up a whole lot of things in your life just by living by fear. Man, when the Lord has a word, like a lot of times Doris will come and say, I believe the Lord wanted me to give this to you, and she'll just give me some scripture. Do you realize that's that anointing of a prophetess, you see? And there's nothing wrong with that. Now, there are some denominations that don't think women are supposed to do anything because the Apostle Paul had to get on to a church at Corinthian, told them to be silent in the church, and for some reason the religious folk took that and made a doctrine out of it, when we know that God uses women in a mighty, mighty way to the glory of God. And matter of fact, the first evangelist was a woman. When Jesus told Mary, you go tell everybody I'm coming again. I'm going up to heaven. You see, what's happened is the enemy through religion has ruined a lot of the plan of God in people's lives. Man, we just ought to go ahead and let it all free and begin to say, God, what is your plan for me? So he gives these fivefold, the prophet, the apostle, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teachers, for what reason? Because this could help you find the plan of God in your life. Here's what the fivefold, here's my job. This is my job as the pastor of this church. Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints. Now stop right there. Who are the saints? You born again people. Everybody that's born again, that means you've asked Jesus to come into your life and be your Lord. You're a saint. That's what this is talking about. Now, if you're not born again, you need to be. You need to give your life to Jesus. It's time. Stop fighting it. Give your life over to the Lord Jesus Christ, you see. So here, the fivefold, the pastor, the evangelist, and so on, is for the perfecting of the saints for what? The work of the ministry. What? Are you serious? What do you mean ministry? Well, what ministry does people need today? Because there's a whole lot of sick people out there. So my job is to teach you, the saint, to do the work of the ministry. Not saying you're going to be up here, you know, preaching the gospel behind the podium, but why don't you go to the hospital and lay hands on the sick, as Mark chapter 16 says to do? Why does it always have to be me? Because there's not enough of me to go around. But if you do it, brother, well, okay, here's what the enemy says, though. Oh, I'm not worthy. I don't know enough scripture. I don't know what I'm doing. I haven't spent enough time with the Lord. I haven't prayed long enough. No, it doesn't matter what the enemy tries to tell you. There's going to be someone that you can influence. Yes. Oh, I know the enemy will beat us up. Yeah, but you did a lot of bad things back when. And you know what you tell the enemy? That's the old me. I kind of like that. He said, get behind me, Satan. Because there's a time when you've got to speak to that devil and tell him to do what is supposed to be done. He shouldn't even be up out from under your feet. You're by being a believer of Jesus Christ, have the authority to use the name that's above every name. The Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every demon has to flee. So we've got to take that authority and not be ashamed of it. We don't have time to, you know, get in our prayer closet maybe. But if we just live this way and begin to find out the plan of God in our lives, then you're not going to be afraid when the devil tries to tell you you're not worthy. You're going to tell him, no, I'm worthy. I'm going to go lay hands on the sick, and we're going to command them to recover in Jesus' name. Amen. You know what? Really, when you need to be ministered to is really when you need to be ministering. Amen. I'll never forget, it was a heartbreak in my life. And, you know, a stinking girl. And and I'll never forget, you know, going through all that. Thank God it was unanswered prayers. I finally met the one gal for me. It's been such a blessing in my life. But going through that, and y'all can probably all testify to this, it's probably happened to most everybody in here when you're young and you think, okay, this is it, and this is God's plan in my life, and then it don't come to pass, and there's an opportunity to get heartbroken. And just being honest, it's heartbroken. I didn't understand. I was like, does she not know who I am? Let me keep a straight face. I mean, I'm Corey Ross. I have a recorded album. She said so. And I'll never forget going to this church in Andrews, Texas. My brother was roping with a boy named D. King, and his dad was a pastor at a church. And so we went, and I went to this church, and out of the blue, he goes, Corey, why don't you come on up here and minister to us? Now, I wasn't ministering yet. I hadn't really fully submitted to the Lord, you see. And here, he's saying, yeah, come on up. Just share your heart with all these people. And here I'm thinking, wait a minute. I need to be ministered to. But the minute I just began to share my heart, it really ministered to me more than them, you see. It was the plan of God in my life, you see. So my job is to teach you to do the work of the ministry, whatever that is. It might just be simply walking up to someone and saying, hey, I just wanted to tell you God loves you. But for some reason, we don't do that. We're not those fanatical type. We're afraid to be persecuted. But I know a scripture that can change your life in Matthew that says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. I don't mind being persecuted. What I do mind is not standing up for my Lord. There's a time, y'all, when in order to find God's plan in your life, that we've got to pull our shoulders back and get our chest out and be bold enough to declare the love of our God. So let's go on just real fast. It's 11:46. It goes on to say, and I'll finish this next week. And then I'll do an Easter message, and then I'll finish it the next week. It's usually what happens. So here, we're talking about perfecting the saints for the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ. I mean, I don't know about y'all, but we need to be edified. Don't you get tired of being around people that tear you down? No, I want to build up someone. I want to say, hey, you're the head, not the tail. You're above and not beneath. You can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. In my office, I began to write down some goals just a second ago. And the very first goal that I wrote down, number one, was I want to let the light shine in me. You would have thought it was to win the world championship in steer roping, or to, you know, to have something that's a big gain in my life. But the very first thing that I felt like the Spirit of God wanted me to put down, and I put it in my pocket. You want me to get it out for you? It's right here. Okay. Bring it in, the camera. I don't know if you can see that on the camera. Is that upside down? Is that right? Anyway, what it says is the very first one, and this is goals 2018. Let my light shine everywhere. That's what it says. You see, that's a goal that I want in my life. And I know there's goals out there for all of us. But I want to find out what God's plan is for my life. And I found some scripture that if you would just write down some things, man, that might be the plan that God begins to birth in your heart, just to write this particular thing down. For me, let your light shine everywhere. That's the plan that God has for my life right now. That's not the only plan, though. It's just a part of the plan, you see. I don't know about you, but I don't want someone saying to me, oh, you can't attain that. You're not worthy. That's all I heard growing up, y'all. I was sick and tired of the church telling me I was not worthy. I mean, there's old religious thinking. Now, listen to me. Before I gave my life to Jesus, I was not worthy. But after I gave my life to Jesus, I am now called not just the servant of God, even though I serve, I am now called a son of God. I'm called an heir of God. I'm called a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You see, that's you and I. That's just not the preacher. That's all of us. We are all, according to Jesus Christ, an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. And in order to find the plan of God in my life, I want to be edified. I want to be built up. I want people saying, hey, you can do it, brother. Don't you dare give up. I don't understand why. And I preached it again this last Sunday. I taught them the very first thing you have to understand and do. It's a principle that you need to get a hold of. You ready? Number one, don't give up. I don't care what it is. We're not going to give up in a marriage. We're not going to give up on our dreams. We're not going to give up on our visions that God's given us. We're not going to give up on the plan of God in my life. I'm not giving up. And then number two, stop being late. Stop being late. Man, they all was elbowing each other, just like here. That's you. Because it shows integrity and character. Start being early to church. Don't be the one that's always late. Because that's what people see in you. They don't care. I'll get there when I get there. No, man, we need to start edifying the body of Christ that, man, when you show character in your life, that's why people want to be like you, you see. Let's go on real fast. So here, those five apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till what? We all come in the unity of the faith. I'm going to stop right here. Because I'm here to tell you that is what's destroyed the church. Is we're not in unity anymore. If we don't believe in the Baptist doctrine, that ain't right. If we don't, we're not Church of Christ, and you know, a part of that church, that's not right. The Assembly of God, well, you know, they believe this, and if you're not filled with the Spirit of God, speaking in tongues, then you know, you're not going to heaven. And then this Pentecostals, you know, there's one branch of it that says if you wear makeup and you know, pantyhose, something's wrong with you, or I don't know, I'm just saying, and I'm just here to tell you, makeup is good. Pantyhose might be good too, amen. Oh, I got a text, let's see, a couple of days ago that was trying to talk about the 144,000 that, you know, they thought were the only ones going to heaven. I'll never forget being on a ranch, and we was in a little hunting cabin in Iran, Texas. Anybody know where Iran is? By Sheffield and McCamey, Texas. And we was in this little hunting cabin, and some people walked up, or they drove, they might have drove down the road to this little cabin. And they got out, and they were Jehovah's Witness. And this was in the 80s. I was young. And I'll never forget the man said, you know, we want y'all to be a part of the Jehovah's Witness because there's only going to be 144,000 that makes heaven. And do y'all want to be that? And I said, absolutely. I want to make heaven. Now, I wasn't a Jehovah's Witness because I knew I was just messing with them, you know. And, well, then I found it interesting that just several years later, there was like a million members of the Jehovah's Witness. And I got to thinking, is God just going to go picking 144? So here in this text, I'm having to ask them. I said, that's talking about 144,000 Jews that are going to evangelize during the rapture when you and I are all gone, you see. And there's people probably even in here, they're like, what? I've never heard that before. Listen, y'all, this Bible stuff is good if you just pick it up and read it. Amen? If you just begin to find out and search some things in this Bible, kind of like that one day the Bible says that the clouds will separate and Jesus will appear. After this archangel has sang out a big trumpet sound, and the Bible says the dead in Christ will rise, and all of us that are here, born again, serving God, the Bible says we'll be called up to meet Jesus in the air. When we do that, that then starts a 7-year, I believe, I don't believe in the, you know, mid-tribulation. I want to go out the first load. Be bad, you know. Yeah, let's get out. There'll be a 7-year tribulation. That's a bad time. You've heard and probably watched all those shows about getting the mark of the beast. And, you know, if you don't receive Jesus as Lord, or if you do receive him, you'll have to get your head cut off. And these 144 are going to be trying to get anybody else saved that they can. But the old devil has messed everybody up, not understanding just that one little part. And by the way, we're going to be in heaven. But listen to me. We're only gone for 7 years. The Bible declares that we'll come back for a 1,000-year reign without sin. Anyway, I know that's not part of the message, but what I'm saying is, man, there's some things out there that if you would just get into this Bible and start finding out God's plan for your life, He'll begin to birth that plan, and where He calls you, I'm telling you, the blessing of God will be with you all the time. I'm not saying that there won't be some trials and tribulations, but I'm here to tell you, when we study on down what we're going to be learning next week and however long God has us to learn it, it's time that we're not children tossed to and fro, it says. That we stop being just on milk and we start growing up in the Lord Jesus and getting on some meat. So that when the enemy tries to attack you and divert you from God's plan, that you'll be able to stand up and tell that enemy to flee from you like that gentleman said. And begin to declare the word of God in your life and stop playing this old Christian stuff and start being a fanatical for Jesus Christ. Because in these last days, I'm telling you, we're going to need the peace of God more than we've ever needed it before. Why? Well, because Satan does not like you. He does not want the plan of God to be revealed in your life. But man, if you would just bow up and start learning the Word of God and start getting into it, what's wrong with getting into the Bible and begin to pray into God and saying, God, I need you. I need wisdom. I need insight. I need revelation. And then watch and wait for God to give you that insight and revelation. What is wrong with that? I'm telling you, we need to see God's plan in our life, because when the trials and tribulations do come in our life, we'll get to go through them and not build a tent in the middle of them. Yeah. Amen? So I'm just saying, let's start asking God what His plan is for our life. Amen. Because you're worthy. Amen. You're worthy. Yeah. Why don't you say that? I'm worthy. Say it again, I am worthy to know what God's plan is. He's got a plan for you. Stop playing around. This God stuff is real. I know if you turn on the news, they're going to try to talk you out of it. But I'm here to tell you, I'm not moved by what I hear. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by the five physical senses. You know what I'm moved by? This word. And I'm telling you, if you just dare to believe it, it'll work for you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen? Amen. Amen. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you that all of us in here, everybody watching, I pray, is desiring to know the plan you have for us. And as we get deeper into this word, I just thank you, Lord, that you would begin to reveal the plans that you've set before us. We know the thoughts you have for us, thoughts of peace, not of evil. Your word declares you're not going to bring evil on us. So, Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you would begin to deliver the ones that are right in the midst of the fire. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, sir, they're not alone. You are with them through this trial or this tribulation, this fire. But Father, we are not designed to stay in that terrible mess. It's time to get on through and get delivered. It's time to get to the promised land. So I declare, sir, in Jesus' name, that people would get to the promised land, the place you have for them, your desire. Now, Father, I realize that there could be someone here that's never received you as Lord. I'm asking you, sir, right now, to begin to draw their heart to you. The word says that the Spirit of God is the one that draws all men's heart to you. I can't do it. It doesn't matter how good someone preaches or how good their speech is. No, it's you. that draws them to you. So I ask you to begin to soften any hardened heart in this place, that they would just trust you, that they would just by faith say, I'm believing in you in every area, sir. And if there's anybody that does not know Jesus Christ, again, God, move in their heart right now in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, please. The question this morning, talking about God's plan, is, are you submitted to the God we're wanting to desire a plan from? Is he your Lord? Or in other words, if you died and left this earth, do you know what would happen to you? Let me tell you what the Bible says, not what some preacher says. The Bible says that in Romans 10 and 9, that if you'll confess Jesus with your mouth as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, the King James uses this word thou. That's talking about all of us. Thou shalt be saved. If you stand before God and you've died and left this earth, you've died of the flesh, because you're going to live really somewhere. And I'm hoping it's heaven and not hell. The question is if you've given Jesus the lordship of your life, you've confessed him as Lord according to Romans 10 and 9, when you stand before God, he's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Come on into heaven. It literally says, enter into the rest, the joy of the Lord. Is that what God's going to say to you? Is he going to say, come on into heaven? If you've made Jesus your life, I promise you he will. But if you choose not to receive him, you have that will, you can say no to him. And if you do and you die, he'll have to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. You see, I don't want him to say that to anybody. That's why I travel so much. That's why I'm gone from the church that I love a lot of the Sundays. It's because I want people to get saved, born again. If you're here this morning, you've never given your life to Jesus, I'm going to ask you right where you're sitting or right where you're at watching to give your life to Jesus by praying a prayer. We're going to pray Romans 10 and 9, really. And we're going to ask Jesus to come into our hearts. If you're here and you've never done that, I want you to do that out loud and mean what you say. But all of you that have received Jesus, I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer as well. And we'll just pray it with those ones that are praying it for the first time. You ready? If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, pray this prayer. And all of us born-again people, we're going to pray it with you. You ready? Out of your mouth, say this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. And according to Romans 10, and verse 9, I confess that Jesus is my Lord. Jesus, come into my heart and save me. I believe that you've been raised from the dead. And I thank you, Lord, that I'm saved. I'm born again. I need you in my life. Thank you for saving me and forgiving me of all my sins. In Jesus' name I pray. Before you look up, if you'll just keep your head bowed and eyes closed, just out of respect, honor of God, and respect of your neighbor. We're not here to embarrass anybody. It's a decision you have to make. I can't make you give your life to Jesus. No one can. You just got to open up your heart and receive him. If you just gave your life to Jesus Christ, I want you to be bold enough to declare it before a man. That's what the Bible says. If you'll confess Jesus before men, Jesus said, I'll confess you before the Father. If you just prayed that prayer and you meant it, you gave your life to Jesus this morning, when I count to three, I want you to raise your hand up and say, I prayed that prayer in a minute. I gave my life to Jesus this morning, and then just put your hand right back down. When I say three, I want you to be bold enough to declare that you gave your life to Jesus and you're not ashamed of it. You ready? One, with every bit of boldness in Jesus' name. If you just gave your life to Jesus, get that hand up when I say three. One, two, three, go. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. appreciate that. It's that lady right there. Yeah, don't raise your hand. Just hand her in the right there. Yeah, just hand that to her. If you just raise your hand, I want to just grab a Bible. Amen. Anybody else? If you hadn't raised your hand, just get it up. Don't be ashamed. And then put it right back down. Glory be to God. All right, look at me. If you just received a Bible and you gave your life to Jesus this morning, hopefully in that Bible is a little card that says, now that I've received Jesus, or, you know, it just gives us an indication that you gave your life. Please fill that out. But listen, the Bible says angels in heaven are rejoicing when someone gives their life to Him. I think we are to rejoice. Amen. Thank you for being here this morning. Did y'all have a good time? Yeah. Listen, as we pray and when we're dismissed, always remember that Jesus does not stay here. The Bible says He never leaves you or forsakes you. He goes with us, in other words. And let Him be a big part of your life. Open up your heart and just begin to ask Him what His plan for you. What is it? And I'm telling you, if you'll listen, sometimes it takes a little while to just really hear from Him and start understanding how He talks to you. But if you spend enough time with Him, you'll know when it's God. You'll know when it's the enemy. Amen. And you'll know when it's you in a carnal way. And so, thank you for coming, all y'all that gave your life to Jesus. If you don't live here, find a good Bible-believing church where you live. And if you do, I pray that this could be a great church to plant into. Amen, if you live around here. In a week or so, I don't remember when it is, if you've been praying that it's time to join and plant this church and you never have, after the rodeo, a week after the rodeo, in April, that's when we're going to give you an opportunity to give your life to making a stance that, hey, this is where I'm supposed to plant my life. And I'm telling you, where you plant, you'll grow. Amen? And so be praying about that. Understand that the rodeo is coming up. And in April, we're still selling our cow drop tickets. And if you haven't really gotten behind the cow drop, it's just a good fundraiser of having fun. We're going to be turning out three cows, and wherever we're selling square yards in our arena. They're $50 a ticket, and then I'm going to turn out some cattle, and wherever those cattle.